wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Hey, what's up?
Took a little break.
Yeah, sure did.
I was just sick of you, to be honest. Just getting it
fair?
Out there. Just
fair?
Don't want to hold it in any longer.
That, there was literally nothing to talk about last week.
It was a little dead.
It was sparse.
We, of course, had an international break that we had to deal with, which was the main motivation for us taking the weekend off. The U.S. team only played once. It's on Tuesday. We literally don't even have it as a segment that we're going to talk about this week.
Because by the time you're listening to this, I've been a week old.
Yeah.
You don't need to hear that.
No one wants to hear a week old breakdown at this point.
It's awful.
So we're going to be dipping our toes back into the Premier League action since that returned to us this weekend. We've got MLS stuff to talk about too. And even local soccer that has breached into our top five for this week. So lots on the table for us to get into. But before we do that, I think it's probably best that we do fantasy, just to rip the Band-Aid off.
Okay.
Does that sound all right?
I feel like there's going to be more Band-Aids to be ripped later. But
probably.
Let's go with it.
Let's
go fantasy.
Yeah, may as well. Let's start with the Premier League. Out of 143 entrants, we are down to the final seven match days, of course. And you and I continue to suck. It's not surprising.
That's good.
Yeah.
Excited about that.
I fell one place to 75th, and you fell zero places, so hey, at least positive.
Can't fall anymore, can I?
In that you didn't move negatively. But you are 128th.
Out of what, 128?
143.
So okay.
There are 15 people that are worse than you, if nothing else.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. In the MLS league, we only have 21 entrants in there. Oh, wait, real quick, before I go to MLS, we should say Jay Slack still sitting on top, four shows in a row. Got about a 30-point gap that someone will have to erase over the next few weeks if they're going to catch him.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. MLS, out of just 21 entrants, I actually improved a little bit. I moved up to 17th place. I'm off the bottom of the table.
Ooh, get you.
Yeah, how about that? You fell six places to 11th.
Mm.
So I'm sure we'll be back occupying the bottom of the table together very, very soon. In that lead there, four shows in a row. Sarkar's GSFC. So, not sure if that's a real person or
okay.
a real name or what GSFC stands for, but that is your lead. There is your
update. I know GSF is like a food food place, like restaurants used to buy their food in bulk.
You know that you can go there and shop for your own food as well, right?
It's not the same.
If you would like to have 15 pounds of macaroni, that's the place to go.
You gotta have like a membership, though. It's like
I think, do you?
I don't know.
Is it like Sam's Club?
I've never been there.
Hmm.
I just know most of the places I worked at, like, we would get some basic items from there.
Yeah.
Like cheeses.
And absolutely.
Breads or something.
Like a delivery.
Yeah.
You know, come in.
Basic produce would come from there. Yeah.
I worked at a Mexican restaurant that really talked about their, you know, authentic food. And it was always fun watching the tortillas get delivered from GSF. So, if it tells you anything about, you know, how authentic your dining experience is. That is the reason why. But we're not here to talk about GSF.
I wish
we
were.
And the delicious foods they have. They have some good desserts as well.
Now,
just got me thinking about how hungry I am. Mm. Let's talk about the Premier League.
Some cheesecake.
Yeah. You may need some cheesecake if we're going to talk about the match.
I'm
going to
eat some cheese on this one, aren't I?
You may need to. Let's talk about the match that was today. Arguably the marquee match of the weekend.
Arsenal 3, Stoke 0.
No, that wasn't the one we were going to talk about. But if you want to hit that one first, we can. So,
I have no notes on that, but
The only note I actually have on that, if we're going to hit this game real quick to delay the inevitable for you.
Hey, Arsenal, you didn't lose to Stoke. Congratulations.
That's good. I also thought it was kind of cool. There was an opportunity for Aubameyang to have a hat trick. A second penalty that was made available to them, and he gave it to Lacazette because he thought it would actually help his confidence. So, just a...
What a guy.
I mean, that is kind of a neat note. I hate that it's an Arsenal story, but, like, it is something that you... Most guys would want
probably
a hat trick.
Two of the more likable guys on
Arsenal team. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of unlikables on that team.
What would you rank top two unlikable?
Ooh, I mean, unequivocally, Jack Wilshere has to be near the top of that list.
Like, okay.
I think I hate him a lot. I would also put probably Granit Xhaka up there. He's hateable as well. I don't know. I could probably go on for days about the people I hate play for Arsenal. So I'm the wrong person to ask, probably.
Why is that?
Might have something to do with my allegiance to the team that I support. Hey, they played today, too.
Chelsea 1, Spurs 3.
Started well for you.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Morata. Get that guy.
Yeah, how about that guy showing up and scoring in a match?
It was a fun first half. Mm-hmm. First half was back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone had chances. Mm-hmm. Opportunities abound. We need to preface this by saying Harry Kane started on the bench.
That he did.
It was a lot of question this week. Hey, is this guy going to be fit enough? You know, coming mm-hmm. back from this injury? Are they going to try to race him back? They kind of half did get him back. They
gave him some valuable substitute minutes towards the end of the game.
Yeah, some garbage time.
When it didn't matter.
Garbage time and a blowout.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned the Harry Kane injury issue, and there was a lot of concerns when he first went down that it was, like, very serious, and how would this impact England's World Cup chances, and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Obviously, it didn't pan out to be that since we already played today. I am 100% certain that that injury was overblown by Spurs, so he did not have to play during the international break. Like, I'm positive that was what happened.
Wouldn't be the first time.
No. And it just had that feel to it, you know, like... Literally the day after England had their last match, like, there he was publicly, visibly on Spurs social media back in training. So it's one of those things. It's like, that's just a little ironic.
It's like when all those starting pitchers just go down with phantom injuries right at the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm. Guys.
Guys, sorry, can't pitch.
Something happened. Yeah, something's going on. No Harry on the bench. He probably felt pretty good about that, I would imagine. He was on the bench. But
he was on the bench.
He probably liked the idea that he wasn't in the starting 11.
Felt a little good knowing mm-hmm. that was just one less problem to worry about.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to matter. It was weird. Like, I literally felt like I saw the score. Like, okay, we're two added minutes here at the end of the half. Mm-hmm. Man, we cannot let them score right before half.
Right.
That would be catastrophic. That'll kill all the momentum we have from this first half of taking the lead.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Can we talk a bit real quickly about that strike from Eriksen?
It was okay.
I mean, he'd had a rocket a couple minutes before, too, from distance that kind of shook Caballero up. He kind of deflected it down.
Right.
Dealt with it all right. But you could just tell that was one of those hits. And you're like, oh boy. Oh, my God. Yeah, that just happened. It was an incredible strike. It dipped probably like a solid 10 feet.
It reminds me some of the I was watching a Premier League review of last season. Mm-hmm. And it was highlights of the match that Chelsea lost at home to Liverpool. And Jordan Henderson, from roughly the same area, just fired a missile.
Yeah.
And it completely just turned the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 0-0 at that point, or 1-0 at that point, and just completely unraveled Chelsea at that point.
It really did.
And
deja vu.
Yep.
Yeah. The Eriksen strike literally was perfectly timed, right? Mm-hmm. It was, 2 minutes before the stroke at halftime. Spurs went in the locker room on, you know, obviously a bit of a high, and it just had that feeling. You're like, ooh, I feel like the dynamic changed there.
Here's the other thing going into this match. Here's why I knew we were going to lose this match. Because, and this always happens, for some reason in the build-up this week, everyone decided this was the time, this was the year, not last year, not 2 years ago when Spurs were the team, you know, chasing a title.
Mm-hmm.
This was the year we were all going to mention, you know, Spurs have not won in the Premier League at the Bridge since 1990.
Yeah,
everybody just decided this was the year we were going to mention that. And that's what I knew. Now we're going to lose.
18 wins and 9 draws for Chelsea in that lead up, too. So it's not like it was like, oh man, Spurs have just been unlucky and they've drawn a bunch of that.
Right.
It's been a pummeling, right? Like, that's a really big discrepancy. The last time was a 2-1 win for Spurs in 1990. 25 games at Stamford Bridge was the longest any Premier League team had gone at one ground without a single victory in the competition's history.
Pretty crazy.
And I had no clue that was the case.
I mean, they mentioned it.
We talk, I know, but like prior to this year, you're right. Like, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Never before. Heard anybody go like, "Oh, you know, Spurs just they couldn't buy a win."
Yeah. No, did I? I kind of implicitly knew that.
You but felt was, that. You're like, it's been a while since I feel like I've seen that.
Yeah. I've never seen it. So it's good to get that one under our belt, of course. We've totally skipped over the fact that Dele Alli had two goals, one of which was pretty nice. The other one, that third goal was just a complete garbage goal. But those win you games. So
here is the other funny thing. I don't know if you saw like on social media. So it goes 1-1 at the half. Second half starts, and you guys come out pretty hot. Mm-hmm. And Caballero has to make some big boy saves. And he does. And he does at first. And, like, all of a sudden, you just see all of these people on social media going, like I even saw, like, Copa 90, be like, oh, you know, put some, what is it, what's the phrase, like, put some respect on his name or whatever. Yeah. All that stuff started happening, and, like, literally instantly, once all that stuff out there, boom, there goes that Dele Alli brace. Like, it was just boom, boom.
Yeah, it was two goals within 4 minutes. The first, an assist off of Dyer, and then that aforementioned garbage goal for Dele. Kind of a player who's been a bit in the crosshairs as well, at least on the media front,
right?
This year, not having the best of seasons compared to his previous couple, but
yeah, I was gonna say the Spurs fan that I work with on a daily basis has not been singing his praises this year.
No, but the touch that he displayed on that first goal with the lofted ball over top from Dyer, that just absolutely perfect bring down over the shoulder, remind you like, oh, that's what all the hype is about this kid. Like, he can do things that normal players struggle with, and really turn the game on its head because of it. So I'm obviously pretty elated about the victory. Put some distance in between the two of us too in the table. Spurs currently occupying the fourth and final Champions League spot. There's now an 8-point gap.
Yeah, it's not just any distance. This is top four is officially over for Chelsea.
You think so?
Yes. 8 points. Mm-hmm. What, like 6, 7 to go, depending on who you are?
Yeah, that is correct. 7 for everyone at the top of the table, minus Liverpool.
It is over.
Especially when you look at Spurs' remaining fixtures, too. Looking through here, the only legit challenge they have is City and United that are left.
And when do you play City?
2 weeks, April 14th.
So 2 weeks. So we'll talk about this here in a second. Mm-hmm. They can clinch it this coming week.
Yeah.
This coming weekend, hosting... I believe they're hosting Manchester United.
Yes.
They can clinch.
Which would be awesome, by the way.
So they clinch, and we all know what happens after you clinch.
You lose.
You kind of just turn off. You kind of exhale for a minute.
Yeah, because, you know, you're still working all the champagne out of your system. And
you let the kids have a run out.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that means that we can do that. But it's also one of those things... Guardiola is one of those managers that's a little obsessive, and given that they're still in the Champions League, I can
people see only him. Said that about Jose too, and we would roll out some drunks and some children every time.
Some drunks and some children, indeed. Hope they do line up, but 8 points with 7 matches to run for both of us, just too big of a gap, I would presume.
This brings us to something we'll be doing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Is your season over?
Okay.
Chelsea.
Club by club.
Chelsea, your season's now over.
Well, you have a Europa League spot that's on the line here.
So basically, we have to make sure that we don't just throw up on ourselves that much that Arsenal passes us up.
Yeah, there is a 5-point gap between yourselves and Arsenal at this point.
Now, that is doable.
Certainly is doable. Luckily, the team that's chasing you is Arsenal.
Yeah, but it's the end of the season where things don't matter. This is when they play there. This is when they're at their best.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a very good point. Real quickly on Arsenal, I know we already went through that game. Obviously, you know, big win for them in that it really doesn't matter for anything. But the bigger news with them is actually loads of rumors that they have actually signed a new manager ahead of next season.
Tuchel?
Tuchel, yeah.
Which, Hey, good job with that.
Well, look, I think Tuchel's a great coach.
Yep.
He clearly has, like, boundary issues with other people that he works with in the club. Oh, it's weird because the person he had the biggest spat with at Dortmund is at Arsenal. And the two of them have said that they would get along.
Who was it? It wasn't like Aubameyang or anything like
that? No. And in fact, Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan were both like very prominent players under Tuchel's Dortmund side.
Sure.
But it's actually their transfer guru, as some have called him, Sven, and I'm going to mispronounce his last
name.
Mislintat.
Oh, okay.
But he's legit. I think he's kind of akin to a sporting director that Arsenal have been using as a part of their rebuilding project. And there has been a very... A shift over the last year or so, two years, in the way that they've kind of constructed this team. But all that said, apparently the two of them are reportedly agreeing to get along. But this is all, like, we don't know yet. Wenger still has, what, another, like, 15 months to run on his contract.
Right.
But it's just really interesting news, given that, like, it seems like he will never, ever leave, that we're actually hearing that, like, oh, they've signed a new manager. So
they're just going to have two managers.
That would be awesome. I am all
for this. Tuchel will be the actual manager, and then Wenger will just show up, you know, sit in a seat.
Look down disapprovingly.
Refuse to shake hands with the other managers.
Oh, yeah, it'd be incredible. I would love it to be a situation kind of like Sir Alex and, you know, sitting in the rafters at Old Trafford.
Yeah. That worked out well for United, too.
Yeah, it's going
really
well.
That didn't cause problems with all their... No. Hires after that.
So, yeah, it's a really interesting situation developing at Arsenal, and one that I'm sure we'll all be watching very intently. Look, I'm all for Wenger staying as long as he wants. So I'm okay with this.
Manager for life.
Yeah. Give him the contract. Let's move on to...
I guess we should talk about Stoke, since we mentioned the Stoke.
Oh, yeah, I suppose that's
Arsenal
true.
Match. Stoke, you are in 19th. You are 7 points... above 20th West Brom.
Yes.
And you're only really like a point or so away from getting out of safety.
Yeah.
Or for getting into safety.
Mm-hmm.
Out of danger. So your season's not over yet.
No.
You definitely have a lot to play for right now.
There is a lot to play for.
It didn't appear like you were trying to play for that, but you have a lot to play
for. It seems a little weird to me that Stoke are in this position. I know it's not like unusual for them to be down in the mix, but like... They just seem like a club that's a little too big now to go through this type of problem.
Right. I mean, they were just sexy like a year or two ago.
Yeah. Sexy Stoke.
No.
You know it's not sexy? Relegation.
Yeah. Woof.
Yeah. So, their season goes on. We didn't say this about Spurs. I'm going to say that our season is still very much on.
To do what?
Well, I mean, we need to lock up that Champions League spot. I think that's...
It's locked. As the representative on this podcast of the only team that can get you, you're good.
Look, I've been a Spurs fan for a long time.
I mean, some would say, hey, DJ, mind the gap.
I'm not. Notice I'm not saying anything about the distance between my club and that club, like, at all right now. But yeah, Spurs still have something to fight for, obviously.
All right.
And the FA Cup still, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So you got that going for you.
A lot still on the table for Spurs.
Let's talk about City.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioned before, they are one win away from clinching the title. They beat Everton this week. This was actually one of the few teams that actually got anything on them this season.
Yeah, it's true.
It was actually their first blemish of the year was
a draw.
1-1 draw, I believe.
Yeah. It was back when Everton were an absolute trash fire, too, at the beginning of the season. Down in the relegation zone, had that little panic buy and firing and bringing in Big Sam, the least Everton manager imaginable.
Yeah, he's working out well.
Yeah.
So that was a home loss for Everton. 3-1 for Manchester City, usual suspects, getting the job done for them. Sané, Jesus, Sterling.
Yeah. Your brother from another mother.
Yeah.
Birthday twin, David Silva, all the talk at the beginning of the season was how Kevin De Bruyne was just untouchable and the orchestrator.
Pretty good.
I think in the second half of the season, your birthday brother has absolutely been the cog that makes everything tick in that Manchester City side.
Which, by the way, since he is my birthday brother, you're saying a 32-year-old is the one that is stirring the drink there for the soon-to-be title winners.
Hey.
Which is, so I mean, that's something right there, that you have a guy kind of on the back end
doing big things for him. City on the brink. I think the likelihood is that they're hosting that upcoming match, aren't they?
No, they're hosting.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty likely that they're going to get their victory. But knowing how these big time affairs go, we could see a drab 0-0 as well. So
probably.
If
now, you know, they have to be thinking now, had we only not, you know, faltered here, we'd be getting the Guard of Honor this coming week from United.
Oh, it would be incredible.
Which would be pretty tasty
for City. It would just be absolutely incredible for the City fans, and just to watch Jose Mourinho's face throughout the course of it. Like, it would just be too much. Alas.
Oh, well.
So, are we...
As a Chelsea fan, when we had... Liverpool had to give us a Guard of Honor.
Tasteful.
Magnificent.
One of the best, huh?
Yeah.
So we would say City, very much their season is not over. Obviously, they have this one match left before their Premier League season is more or less over.
So City, it's over. Season's over.
Nah, look, they still have the Champions League too. And they're out of the FA Cup. But the Champions League out obviously is... the big target for that club this year. So,
sure. But as far as Premier League, you did it.
It's over. Yeah. When was the last time we saw a title potentially wrapped up in like the first weekend of April? You know what I mean? Like, it's been a while since
I think the last time United won, it was by quite the margin.
In Sir Alex's last season?
His final season.
I feel like I don't know that it was in April.
That's probably a good
pretty point. Early on there. What about Everton? You think their season, where would you put it at this point? Because I think, obviously, they're at a place in the table where they're not really
going anywhere. They got their 40 points.
Yeah, they made it to 40, so they're safe.
You're safe.
They're ninth currently. Really, you know, looking at the race for that fifth place spot to get into the Europa League. There will probably be another Europa League spot that will open up.
Here's the weird thing, though.
Like, it's 16 points. They're not doing that.
But here's like the weird thing. If you think about it, even though going into this season and over the past couple of years, the evolution that has been Everton turning into one of these teams that was almost quasi, one of the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
Given all that's happened this season, given the fact they have a manager that is, like, basically tanking.
Yeah.
Given the fact that...
he doesn't want this job next year.
Spent the first, like, month or so of the season in the relegation zone. I mean, ninth place? That sounds pretty good, all considering.
It's not that bad, but...
Like, I think they kind of pulled it out of the fire there.
But, I mean, think about the players that they've brought in over the last year and the money they've spent. I mean, how much money did they spend on Gylfi Sigurdsson?
A fair bit.
Too much. But a club that spends that type of money
has... That Klassen guy? They spent like 32 on him.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's like, what, 70 million pounds between the two of them.
Yeah.
You're talking about ambitions grander than ninth place.
Right.
So, that said, their season's done. They have nothing to play for.
And they're probably relieved that it's done.
Yeah.
And that they're safe. And that they actually might finish on the top half of the table.
Yeah. And I can't imagine too many of their players are World Cup bound at this point. So, it's all done. Let's move into the rest of the Premier League action and right where we think everyone else is currently sitting. Is there a match you'd like to start with?
Let's just start with that early one. Mm-hmm. Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 2.
Palace should have done this.
Mm.
They should have done it.
Turns out Benteke, there's a reason why he's not at big clubs anymore.
Like the one that he was missing chances against this weekend? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He had an absolute sitter of a chance that he missed in the second half.
I mean, at least two. Where it was like, just kick it straight. Just kick it straight and not over the goal, and you have and you're in.
That did not work out the way they would have liked for it to. I think the other thing that's worth saying in this match, Mo Salah, of course, he scored. It's just what he does.
Yeah, scores the winner at the death.
Yeah. Getting them a big victory to keep them in third place. Liverpool, what would you say their chances are as far as their season?
I mean, like, what is there for them to do?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Do you want to finish second place, third place, or fourth place? You're not going to finish fifth place.
Right.
So, like, you're going to get Champions League. Do you have to do that extra annoying match at the end of July during like the end of preseason to make against Danish team or some team from like Azerbaijan?
Well, no, so that's changed a little bit. Remember?
Oh, what they've changed?
Yeah, they've broken the Champions League qualification stage. Like if you're the qualifier round entrant for your nation. It used to be you could go up against any of the other teams that went into the pot at that point.
Right.
And you could be like a second place finisher from Switzerland, which Spurs multiple times have gotten, Young Boys being among them. But you could also potentially end up with something like, you know, Fiorentina or, you know, one of the other big league fourth place team. What they've done now is now there's what they call their champions division and then their like qualifiers group. And basically it's two different groups of like teams that actually won their league. So smaller league teams, Moldova, things like that would square up against other champions. And then fourth place finishers would actually go and play against other like fourth or third place finishers.
So it could be harder is what you're saying.
Yes.
So you could get like the second place team from the like Netherlands or whatever.
Exactly.
That could suck.
Yeah. So, I mean, the stakes are a lot higher about not finishing in that fourth place because you actually have to go through a little bit of a test as opposed to whooping up on someone. You know, when Spurs were last in the Champions League before this year, they did get Young Boys. They went down 3-0 in the first half and then clawed back to finish 3-3 in that match and then, you know, did the business at White Hart Lane. That's not as easy to do when you're facing a Fiorentina or a Sevilla or something along those lines. So,
Genk.
Yeah.
They'll get you.
Want to stay away from Genk. Palace.
They are in 17th place, only 2 points away from the drop.
Mm-hmm.
They are the safety at the moment. They are that last team on the life raft.
Yeah.
So their season is still not over. They
definitely have not over.
So much danger to clear.
You know, it's incredible. They went so long at the beginning of the season without a win. There was legit concern that they were going to go down. Looking at the three teams that are below them, and we're going to be talking about two of these other ones to come, I really don't think any of them are going to do anything to save themselves.
Like, and luckily for Palace, looking at the rest of their schedule, Bournemouth, Brighton, Watford, Leicester City, and then they finish with the teams that are currently at the bottom two spots, Stoke and West Brom.
Ooh, okay.
So the schedule is favorable to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Leicester is going to be a tough road, but that's a home game.
Mm-hmm.
Watford will be a fight because, I mean, Watford just – yeah, Troy Deeney just starts feeling it one day and then you're screwed.
Yep.
Outside of that, fairly easy.
It's a lot of six-pointers, though. Like, a lot riding on those.
That's true.
So, but yes, their season is very much not done at this point. Let's move on. Talking about one of those teams that's actually occupying the very bottom of the table. West Brom 1, Burnley 2. I saw this, and I don't know where I saw it, but it's worth saying. The Baggies have...
I'm going to guess the internet.
I did see it on the internet. The Baggies have stolen as many cars as they've had wins under Alan Pardew's reign. How incredible is that?
That's a good start.
How incredible is that?
Oh. West Brom, we neglected to cover that whole storyline because I just couldn't. I had no appetite to
get into it,
to say any more of it because I listened to the Football Rambles takedown of it.
Oh my god!
And it was like pull the car over, like laughing
because it was unbelievably funny.
So I had nothing else to add.
Yeah, it was fantastic. West Brom, as we've mentioned, they're propping up the table at the moment. They are
their season's done.
Yeah, so are it's they. Done. Like, seriously, they are 10 points from safety.
Yeah.
They, mind you, the stat we just mentioned a minute ago, the number of wins they've had under Alan Pardew since he's taken over, is literally the same amount of cars they've stolen. It always blows my mind, by the way, that Gareth Barry was involved with that. Like, if there was anyone you could think of that would not be involved in that, it would be Gareth Barry.
Right.
But he would, there he was, helping to steal a taxi.
Are we stealing us? All right.
Yeah, their season is absolutely done.
And it's not like they do not have the Crystal Palace road to the end. They still have to play United, Liverpool, and Spurs to finish the season.
Yeah. if they weren't cooked already, they're going to be cooked through that.
Yeah, pretty well done and dusted.
Mm-hmm.
We've been calling this one for years. It's finally actually happening.
Yeah.
Burnley, your season is irrelevant?
Yeah, it is irrelevant. but, you know, it's worth saying, I mean, they find themselves currently in seventh place. This will be their highest ever finish in the Premier League era. 46 points. They're clearly safe. They're not going to really, I mean, they have an opportunity potentially to catch you guys, but again, at 10 points to get into those Europa League spots.
They can catch Arsenal.
They can very much catch Arsenal. But this is a tremendous achievement for a club that is so small. Like, it's just kind of unseen, unheard of, that you don't think about them a lot.
Good season again.
Mm-hmm.
One to build on.
Yeah.
But I'd say by and large, their season's basically over.
Oh, yeah, it's over.
They're in a good spot. Mm-hmm. They really can't fall too much from that.
Nope.
It's going to be difficult to go much higher than they're already at.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say by and large, Burnley, I mean, you're almost like one of those teams that's just sitting pretty on the beach. Like,
yeah.
It's time to just...
Those are the guys that are, like, looking at their watch through the rest of the season. Like, come on, let's get this done with.
I think we've done enough here.
Yes, we have.
West Ham 3, Southampton, absolutely nothing.
Southampton are one of those sides that find themselves in the bottom three at the moment. In fact, they find themselves in 18th. They just can't score.
No.
Like, at all.
Nope.
And, you know, we've now talked about the three sides that are below... Palace in the table and how I don't really think they have any ability to rescue themselves. Stoke, if there's one, Stoke is going to do it. Like, right. I think they have the ability, the talent to pull themselves out of it. Southampton, like, dude, Tadic? I'm trying to think if I, Ward
Prowse. Gabbardini.
You know what I mean? So there's just not anyone in that squad that you look at them and go, ooh, you know, that'll be the one
to
save them.
He'll do a job.
Turns out getting pillaged repetitively by Liverpool and Spurs and other sides has finally taken its toll on the Saints.
It's been a while. You know, they've been up. They had a good little run here of being up. Remember the team that they got promoted with? Ricky Lambert led team.
Oh, man, Ricky Lambert.
I mean, that's a guy who's already, like, basically retired now, right?
I can't imagine he's not.
Yeah, Southampton, your season's not over. I mean, you're treading water. You're basically drowning. You 2 points away. Maybe you could do it, but you're right. I don't know who's, you know, going to that next gear to get you guys through.
Yeah, Arnautovic, the man of the match for West Ham in this particular one, 2 goals along with João Mário, leading West Ham, a club that are in disarray. In a lot of respects, this was something desperately needed just to pacify the fan base.
Right.
If you remember a couple weeks ago, they had not one but 2 pitch invasions from not just fans being drunken. I'm sure they were drunken, but fans going out to protest the actual, like, existence of the ownership team and the decisions they're making. So desperate need for them. This is a club that probably needs the season to be over. Just so
remember, Mark Noble had to fight a guy. He had to throw a supporter on the ground.
It was incredible. Like, you just something you never ever expect to see. But as things currently stand, West Ham, who were flirting a little bit this year with the relegation zone, and it's not to say they're not out of the mix, but they find themselves in 14th, 5 points clear of the drop. Are we to the point where we can say they're safe? But I don't think so.
Yeah, safe-ish.
Safe-ish, but again, like we were saying a little bit ago, that
yeah, it,
Palace are probably safe, given the three sides below them aren't going to do anything. If they aren't going to do enough to overcome Palace, they're certainly not going to catch up with West Ham at this point.
So, your season's not over.
No.
You got a little bit of work to do.
A bit.
Brighton Hove Albion, Leicester City. Leicester City winning that one 2-0. Mm-hmm. Hey, Leicester City, your season's over.
Yeah, it is definitely over.
There's nothing else to be done.
In that match, of course, they also were forced to have Ndidi. He picked up a second yellow card.
Good job.
Late on in the match. Vardy, of course, then doing what he does.
Having a party
and saying, hey, we only needed 10 people anyway, and dropping it like it's hot. As he does, assist for Damari Gray, one of my favorite up-and-coming young Premier League players as well. That said, Leicester are done.
Yeah, eighth place.
Brighton are done as well.
Brighton, you're probably safe. I mean, you'd have to really screw up for something to go south. Just win two more games. Get your 40 points. Just win two more games the rest of the season.
I mean, again, for the promoted side, and all the promoted sides are punching above their weight a bit this year. Like Brighton and Hove Albion, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, their season is pretty much done as well.
Manchester United and Swansea. That was a 2-0 win for United. Swansea, your season. If you're saying Crystal Palace is safe,
yeah, I mean,
then I guess everyone's safe. Right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everyone. I really just feel like
Swansea's only at 31 points. That's only 3 points off of 18th.
I mean,
you still have a little bit to work.
There's definitely some work to be done.
So I would say your season's not over,
mm-hmm.
but there's really, really less to be done than one would say.
Mm-hmm.
United, your season's over.
I don't know.
But it's like Liverpool. Like, well, okay, so you're going to maybe finish second?
Second or third.
You're going to finish third?
It's
like
a couple million pounds of extra prize money is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
Yeah, okay, fine.
It's
Their season lasts through this weekend, I think.
You
know,
okay.
They don't want to give City the title.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They don't want City popping bottles in the away dressing room there.
Yeah, there's a high likelihood that Mourinho would show up and, you know, do something with those bottles in a obscene way. I actually need this to happen, like, more than anything.
Newcastle 1, Huddersfield 0.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams roughly around the same area. Newcastle, you're basically done. 35 points.
Mm-hmm.
Get like another win or so. Like, You're probably good.
You're probably in good shape.
You're fine.
Hey, you know what still blows my mind a little bit about Newcastle? Rafa Benitez is still there.
Yeah. He is.
With absolutely no spending power.
No. He has none.
Kennedy on loan, though. It's been impressive since he's
That's
made the
move
over.
That's worked out well.
Done a lot for them in that respect.
I mean,
so.
A guy who plays out left,
mm-hmm.
not going to get a whole lot of minutes at Chelsea.
No.
So, probably best that this happens to him.
Yeah.
And he's proven his worth.
Good for him. As for the other side in this match, you know, how are you feeling about Huddersfield? Obviously, they're down in that range.
Yeah, they're the same as Swansea, 31 mm-hmm. points. So they still got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Season not over yet.
Definitely not over yet. They're one of those sides, if you could see one of the promoted sides this year go down, and I think Huddersfield is probably your most likely
candidate.
That'd
be the
one,
yeah. Watford and Bournemouth draw 2-2. Watford in 11th, Bournemouth in 10th. Your season's done.
Both of them are done.
Yeah, season's done. Yeah, 37 points, so just get one win to finish out the season. Find 3 points
mm-hmm.
between now and the end of the season.
You're good. I think they probably already agreed, you know, hey guys, this was going to be a draw. Like, let's just get on with this. A couple goals, excite the fans. And then we can all go home.
Have some fun with it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's the Premier League.
That is your Premier League weekend.
I feel like it is. When we talk about teams being done, seasons being over, like it there is starting to feel the finality to the season. It's coming on pretty quickly.
Yeah. And it's reaching the point in the year where I'm like, I don't want the season to be done.
Right.
Like, it seems so long at the beginning, and you feel like for a long time throughout the year, you're like, there's still plenty of time for our team to get their crap together and finish where we want them to finish and where we've been talking about and the expectations. Look, if you haven't done those things by this point, there's not a high likelihood that you're going to pull those things off.
The weirdest feeling, like, I feel like last year, like, so Chelsea is trying to win the title. Like, you desperately, like, are just counting down, like, just counting down to the end of the season.
Yeah.
Or to the end of when we can clinch. But then, like, the end of the season, like, comes, and then you're like, oh, the season's over.
Oh, dang it.
Like, yay, we won, but, like, oh, there's, like, nothing to watch now.
At least we've got the World Cup this summer, huh?
I get, yeah, we got that going for us. Yeah. What are those going to be, like, a lot of, like 11 a.m. starts, I think?
I think so.
Yeah.
It'll feel Premier League-ish.
Okay. That'll work.
Okay.
Let's go stateside.
Okay.
MLS had another week of matches.
That it did.
More fuller slate of games since there were, I think there was only a handful of teams that played last week during the international break.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you like to start? What storyline would you like to start with?
You know, MLS, it's hard to find a good storyline to go into. We could start, I'll just propose this.
Okay.
We could start with a player signing that was made, you know, since we last recorded.
Well, okay.
Would you like, is that an okay spot to start? Okay.
Did we not mention that Jordan Munch had joined Vancouver?
No, we did not.
Okay.
The exciting news.
Big.
Yeah. Everyone is really amped up about it, around, at least in my office and house.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was exciting to see Jordan Munch join in, but of course I'm not certain that was the player signing that I had in mind.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, who are you going with?
I would go with, there was a Swedish player, aging striker. You may have heard of him. He's played for a couple clubs that are kind of well known. Barcelona, Inter Milan,
heard of it.
Juventus.
Not sure about that one.
Manchester United, maybe?
Heard of it.
Oh, okay. Paris Saint-Germain?
Familiar.
Mm-hmm. This guy is a guy that, you know, you may know him because he speaks in the third person a lot.
A lion?
Refers to himself.
And by some, I mean just him.
Yeah. We're, of course, talking about Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who joined LA Galaxy and legitimately...
Like the worst kept secret in world football.
It's been known for a while.
This has been telegraphed for 6 months.
But I'll tell you what, for something that we've all kind of known was coming, that was a really fun player signing, right? Like, it felt like something you didn't know was coming because LA did a bang-up job on revealing him.
Yeah.
So it all started, first thing... The way we found out that he was coming to LA officially was through morning paper distribution. Like, how often does that happen in the 2000s? You know what I mean? Like,
you know
this
what?
Doesn't happen anymore.
It was a win for print journalism. They needed a win.
They haven't broke
a story in forever.
But it was a full page ad in the LA Times. That, you know, featured some LA Galaxy branding, but all it had was a simple message all the way very top, and it said, "You're welcome, MLS," you know, something to that effect. And then it just said, you know, "Signed Zlatan," and you kind of go like, "Oh man, that is totally like if he were to take out a full page ad, that's exactly what he would do."
Mm-hmm.
Then just it was a cascading series of announcements, and ultimately the video that they dropped on social where he's kind of sharing the space with the lion. He is the lion. And then finishes with just a classic line, like, LA, welcome to Zlatan. Like, it's the joke that everyone's been making about Zlatan forever. And he's like, I'll own that.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
So he flies in, like, late Thursday night. He gets in. Press conference Wednesday or Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it was all building perfectly, right?
Like, yeah.
So United terminates the contract, does all this stuff so that they can get Zlatan in because the first edition of El Trafico.
Great name.
Amazing name.
Wait, real quickly, before we go on from this, because I know he's the focus here, but did you see the mind-blowing, like, anger and, like, ridiculous conversation about whether what that rivalry is actually named. Like, people were losing their minds about this.
Yeah, it was stupid.
And most of them were not from LA.
Right.
It was like, it's not your team. You're not from there. Let the fans call it whatever the hell they want to call it.
This was this. These are the same people that just expect soccer to be done one specific way.
Mm-hmm.
That everything, the culture and everything, needs to be done one specific way. And if we're not doing it that way, then it's just fake and cheesy and artificial and it's plastic.
Yeah.
Those are those people.
Yeah. El Tráfico is a fantastic name.
Who cares if a media person was the first one to like throw that out? It's like, hey, wouldn't this be a funny name?
Yeah.
And it took off.
It doesn't matter at all.
Because it, you know why it took off? Because it was a good name.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic.
It's like the Hell is Real derby between FC Cincinnati and Columbus.
Sure.
It's a fantastic name. Most people don't get it.
Right.
Like, why would they say Hell is Real? Oh, you know, like the little team from below. It has nothing to do with it. Right. Literally has to do with the billboard that's in between the two cities on the highway. Like, you wouldn't know that unless you were from here. And that's what makes it great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have the knowledge, and given that LA is literally one of the biggest cities on the planet.
Right.
Like, that has this, everyone knows that LA traffic is terrible. So that's not anything new, but like, if the people there think it's fine, then I think they should be all allowed to name the rivalry whatever the hell they want.
That said, it's no Super Classico, which is what the original LA derby was called.
I mean, what an absurd thing to call that rivalry, by the way. Two teams that play in the same stadium.
Right.
One of which has a negligible following.
Right. The fans that number in the dozens.
It's hard to call anything super when dozens of fans are supporting. Right.
The Super Classico.
The Super Classico.
But anyways.
Rest in peace.
El Tráfico happened, and it was going to be on Fox. It was going to be on Big Fox. It was going to put it on the network.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be it was going to be the big clash of the top two Bundesliga sides that was going to be a real back and forth affair. That ended up not happening. Mm-hmm. It was 6-0 for Munich. And then, boom, straight into El Tráfico. It was a good day of soccer on a holiday weekend for Fox. And what better way to do it than to have it lined up to have Zlatan be able to make his debut on national television on the holidays for everyone to see.
He did.
Yeah.
And he had the most Zlatan game possible. Of course, he started as a substitute.
Right. Because, again, he had, like, literally just flown there about 30 hours before the match.
LAFC took an early lead in the match. By the time Zlatan came on, they were still in the lead.
Right.
So it was
3-0 lead. By the time Zlatan came in, it was 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then it instantly became 3-3.
Yeah. Through who else but Zlatan.
With like a 30-some-odd-yard screamer.
Just the type of goal that he scores pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he gets the injury time winner. It's just, you couldn't write a better plot line for a guy who has come in a mega move for the league, coming into what the league is really hoping will blossom into one of the biggest rivalries in the league. First time ever the two LA teams have played against each other. It's just...
Well, because you talked about the buildup, and the buildup of this whole, like, how they've laid it out is that the whole Zlatan... all about Zlatan to this almost cartoonish, making fun of it, kind of level.
Yeah.
Was all like all of that built up to everything actually happening the way that would happen.
Yeah. It's just, you couldn't write a better plot for this.
This is a guy that flew in and had maybe a half a training session before he took the field.
Yeah, which, by the way, they covered like it was an actual match, too. Right. Like, so much content pouring out of that first training session. The thing about Zlatan, it's funny. I was actually texting with some pro players and some former pro players this week about that match. And one of the things they were saying is, like, I'm genuinely excited about his arrival. Like, everyone said that. And he's a larger than life personality.
Exactly.
And there's no question, like, Giovinco is still the best player in the league, right? Like, that's not a question.
Right.
You can look at, you know, Beckham, his impact, it was still larger than what Zlatan's will be, given where the game was in this country.
Right.
And the profile raising he did for the league around the world.
Right. I mean, Beckham had to bring it to the level it was at for Zlatan to even
be in this conversation, right? But I don't know that there is a player that's ever been in this league. And this is – we're talking about guys like Lothar Matthäus, Thierry Henry, Rafa Marquez. Like, these are some pillars. For real, though.
Yeah.
Blanco. These are players who are legends, right? Mm-hmm.
Drogba.
Drogba. I don't think we've ever had anyone who's going to be as big of an impact on the field. And I'm not saying, again, like, he's not going to be the best player that's ever played in the league. Again, I still think that's Giovinco, probably. But the impact that he's going to have in attracting people to the game that wouldn't have otherwise.
Right.
Is incredible.
Because you're talking about now the MLS has a player that has a transcendent must-watch vibe to him.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, I'm not a soccer guy, but I know who this – I've heard of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, like, if he's on the pitch, like, I need to find this on TV.
Yeah.
Like, something crazy might happen.
Yeah. It's just he's going to have the potential to bring in fans that wouldn't have watched the sport potentially before. He is that type of character. People are going to want to know that aren't soccer fans about this new, like, 8-foot-tall – samurai-looking Swedish guy who has a Baltic middle name or last name. You're like, and he's always speaking about himself in the third person, and he's played for all these massive clubs. His personality is so huge that it's going to be a massive boon to the league. This is the quote that I really wanted to share, and I find it to be incredible. One of those pro players that I was talking with about his arrival said, I felt like a little kid thinking that I wanted to be that, watching him play.
Mm.
This is a guy who is a MLS player. Like, unbelievable to have someone say, I keep getting goosebumps when I watch. It's overwhelming. This is a fellow pro. Literally, someone who plays in the league. Texting me, talking about fanboying over a new forward that signed in the league. That is incredible to me. And I can't get over how awesome it is that Zlatan's here now. Like, that's just awesome for the league. It's great for the sport. And for anyone who says that this league and is fake and it's not real soccer and there's nothing authentic about it, the most authentic human being potentially on the planet literally just landed in our sandbox, and he's going to be playing with us.
I like the hot take that was going around of like, well, Zlatan coming in and immediately scoring 2 goals just shows that the rest of the league is trash, that this league is a joke.
He did that every other club he's played at.
Yeah.
Manchester United scored on his debut.
Scored on his debut.
PSG had, I think, a hat trick on his debut. these aren't like no-name clubs, right?
This is playing in no-name leagues.
This is literally what he does
when he shows up.
And it's not an indictment on MLS. It's just – Zlatan scores goals, and that's how it happens.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I was watching it with my brother-in-law, actually both of them, and my father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
One of my brother-in-laws plays like soccer, like recreationally.
Mm-hmm.
My father-in-law, safe to say, not a soccer fan.
Yeah.
In fact, I might
find it a little offensive that it's played here.
I was worried I wasn't going to be able to turn the game on. Like, I had to, like, commandeer the TV at his house pretty early in the day on Saturday to just wait it out till 3, where I could flip it over and be like, oh, hey, let's just check this out for 2 hours.
Yeah.
but no joke,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm looking over at my father-in-law, who probably couldn't tell you any of how, like, the game works or anything mm-hmm. like that. And, like, he was getting into it there. Yeah. Like, Zlatan came on and just instantly started scoring. And he was, like, he was all into it. I'm like, dude, this is someone that would normally walk out of the room when I have soccer on. And he's, like, at the edge of his seat.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's just incredible. Like, I'm legit excited about his arrival. And it sounds like plenty of others are as well. There was a bunch of other league action. It's early in the MLS season. I don't think we need to dissect it too much at this point.
Yeah. Scored a winner against Columbus.
Yeah, he did. So in Columbus.
Nice. Yeah.
Dagger.
Signed a lot of autographs afterwards.
I hope those people burned them.
As he was signing it.
As he was signing. Hey, by the way. But yeah, it was a fun weekend of MLS action. Plenty of good games to take in. Some excitement even here and there. But instead of going over MLS games, we're going to actually talk about a rivalry game that transpired here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
First edition of it. No, not we're not going to go back over the LAFC, El Trafico,
right.
LA Galaxy match. No, we're going to talk about the first edition ever of a nameless cup.
Right, I was going to say, like, this is yet to get a name. This rivalry.
I do a little bit dislike the idea that we have to name every rivalry. Like, why can't it just be a rivalry?
I don't know. I kind of like the names.
Do you?
There's something just fun about it.
I don't dislike them, but sometimes, like, no knock, I work for the team. I had no part in this. Let me be very clear. I had no part of this. This was orchestrated before I joined the club. But the manufactured name that we have between Louisville City and FC Cincinnati, the River City's rivalry. Well,
that's what, like, the clubs officially,
you know what I mean?
But it's, the fans have their own name.
They do, and that is also awesome.
Yeah.
The Dirty River Derby. If you live in Cincinnati or Louisville, you'll know what that means. But our river, the Ohio River, is very brown. Yeah, it's very brown. It's not a river you would want to wade into.
Unless you wanted to, like, grow a third limb.
Yeah. And
hey, now I got four arms.
If you like fertilizer runoff, right. It's a good river for you.
Or just bodies that have floated down from Pittsburgh.
Always from Pittsburgh.
Where else did they go? Made
it all the way through the locks, too.
It's difficult, but...
I do a little bit dislike the innate need to name them. I'm not opposed to it, but it's just so often that we come up with crappy names that it just...
I mean, yeah, it's got to have a good name.
Yeah.
We don't need to name it.
But this is why people get all, like, worked up over things like El Trafico, which is a fantastic name. But it's kind of like, well, there are a lot of bad ones, and I think everyone has that taste in their mouth. All that said, the rivalry match that we're talking about, it was, of course, Indy 11 and FC Cincinnati. First time they've been met officially.
Sorry, I was thinking of a name.
trying to come up with something there.
I was like, El Sasco?
Yeah.
What?
But just 2 hours separate Cincinnati from Indianapolis.
90 minutes if you know how to drive.
That's true. Depends on where you're driving to. But ultimately, this is a chance for two clubs that are really close geographically to actually get a rivalry going. And there's an opportunity here in the Midwest with Nashville and Louisville so close here in the USL that we're going to have this really tight-knit kind of like opportunity to have this kind of Midwestern special rivalry thing going on. And this is the first time that we've explored it this season. And Indy 11 are playing in a gorgeous home in Lucas Oil Stadium. You could argue it is the nicest stadium in the USL as far as amenities and...
Yeah, I'm not sure who's making a run at that.
No.
NFL stadium that's not even that old.
That said, it is extremely large, and despite Indy breaking an attendance record, sitting 17,000, it was almost 8,000 total people that... they topped their old record by almost, which is incredible achievement on their front.
Mm-hmm.
It's even with 17,000 people in there, that place feels awfully empty.
A little too much stadium.
Yeah. It's a lot of stadium to go around. but that said, 1200 ish minimum, it's probably closer to 1500 people made their way over from Cincinnati. Most of them sitting in one area of the stadium. It was electric.
How many away fans? What was the away fan record for an Indy 11 match?
Like
three?
Nah, I think there were like 12 that showed up for a match a while ago.
Like a couple like Cosmo fans or something?
It might have been the Cosmos. Nothing like people from Indiana wanting to make their way to fly over country in Indianapolis. People from New York wanting to come to flyover country. But that said,
the flyover derby.
The flyover derby, indeed. But it was really cool seeing that many people make a trip over for soccer in this country, period. Like, I'm trying to think of many times I've seen that many away fans for any team in this country. The only time I can really think of off the top of my head is Portland. You know, they brought like 2,000-ish, I think, to the MLS Cup final in Columbus. They always send a lot of people back and forth between them. Uh-huh. In Seattle when they play each other as well. So it's just a very rare sight to see that many people. And the fact that it was the club that I worked for and in the city that we support and love, that was really, really cool. And, you know, we had some cool moments with the march over, totally being louder than the march in from the home crowd as well, which was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
So it was a really neat experience in that we had two fan bases that get along relatively well. Yeah. It's kind of friendly, in some respects.
Friendlier than
some of the other
Louisville, probably.
Yeah, probably so.
A nice TIFO there by the Indy 11 supporters.
Yeah. Little Stranger Things reference.
Yeah. Which I don't know if you saw, but the actress that plays that character actually tweeted it out.
Oh, that's cool.
That someone pointed it out to her, and she was like, "Oh yeah,
how about that?"
Yeah.
But yeah, the Indy, no knock on them. I think they did a good job getting out and supporting. Obviously, setting a massive record for their club on an attendance front.
Right. I mean, this was a club that their time in NASL, they were always pretty much the top.
Yeah, team top as far dog. As yeah, yeah. They roughly average 8,000 to 9,000 over the last few years.
Yeah.
You know, it's we went over to games before either one of us worked for a professional team at all, and would say the atmosphere was great. You know,
yeah.
It was a very enjoyable experience. I will say that they're going to miss some elements of playing at that smaller stadium. I think that's something they'll definitely have to deal with.
Lose a little bit of the intimacy.
The turf is also a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
But that said,
might want to thicken up those lines a little bit too. Yeah. Even on the broadcast, I'm like, wait, where is it at? The out of bounds?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit of an issue as well. Even when you were in the stadium. FC Cincinnati, of course, coming out 1-0 winners. A goal from Emery Welshman. His first for the club. So big deal for them. Also massive performance once again from Evan Newton, the new FCC number one, off the back of making a couple monster saves in week one. Stopped a penalty. Questionable penalty in that. May have gotten ball on that one.
I don't know, they only showed like the replay like I think like maybe one time. Like an actual good angle.
Yeah.
Like one time. So those of us watching at home, couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell you at all.
Couldn't tell you.
That said, it didn't much matter because he made a big stop in front of the Indianapolis fan section as well. It made that group very quiet very quickly. that said, Indy had plenty of opportunities. I would say they dictated a large portion of the match, but I see Cincinnati's defense pretty tight this year, so much improved performance.
Like from like a tactic standpoint, is that kind of going to be the game for Cincinnati to like kind of allow the other team to have the possession?
I don't know. I'm still waiting to see if that's
just early days, just figuring.
I think there's certainly an aspect of that. They're definitely trying to feel things out a little bit still. What that means long-term, we'll have to wait and see. And we've got another big rivalry match this coming weekend with Louisville City making the trip up I-71 for the first Dirty River Derby, River City's rivalry.
I mean, as I say, are you allowed as a
official member? Given that this is not an official FC Cincinnati outlet, I think we're allowed to call it whatever we want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. that said, it's a massive match. Louisville sitting at the top of the table, or near the top of the table. FC Cincinnati, both sides undefeated so far. So, setting up big.
It's going to be fun. I got my tickets.
Yeah, and we're expecting a pretty raucous crowd in Cincinnati as well, as you will. So, exciting start to the season. USL is off to a raring start. Actually, I think the Eastern Conference is going to be an absolute joy because there are some really good teams in the league this year.
Winners and wankers?
Winners and wankers. Who is your winner?
My winner goes to Belgian national team member. I feel like I'm always butchering this name. Is it Dres Martin Mertens? Yeah. I just forget how the first name
Dres is. Martin?
Dres Mertens. I don't know. So he tweeted out a photo of after their win, after they played some schlub national team and pounced on them pretty hard. And it was him and Hazard and Lukaku celebrating. And Lukaku is facing both of them and hugging both of them while on his knees.
Oh, yeah. This tweet was incredible.
And Mertens says, there are other ways to thank us for the assist, Rom.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of looks...
It does look like... a little bit like he's maybe providing them some service.
Some service of other kinds.
Yeah. A great tweet. Mind-boggling that it stayed up as long as it did.
Still up.
Yeah.
Literally I just went and pulled it up just now.
I'm like shocked that someone hasn't said, hey, take that down. Take that down.
Nobody has said that.
If they have, he's plainly ignored them.
Yes. Falling on deaf ears. Your winner.
My winner this week, I'm going to give it to the more than 1 million Egyptian citizens that wrote in Mo Salah for the presidential vote that transpired this past week.
So does that mean he wins?
No, he did not win. 97% of the vote went to the incumbent Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. Challenger from the God Party, Mustafa Musa. Great name.
What was the party again?
The God, G-H-A-D, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. The God, maybe, perhaps, I'm not sure. But the challenger's name, Mustafa Musa, is just fabulous. But everyone not really feeling those two. 1 million people wrote in Mo Salah. That's incredible. That would be like people writing in LeBron James.
That's some really high voter turnout, though. If 1 million people voted for Mo Salah and the other guy still got 97% of the vote.
Yeah, well, there are some questions about the legitimacy of this election, as you might expect.
I'm doing some back-of-the-envelope math here.
Yeah.
That's a lot. No, that's some insane voter turnout.
I mean, if you're doing the math, it's probably somewhere in the region of, like, 98 million people. So it's just giving you a rough estimate. I don't know that there are that many people that actually live in Egypt. I could be wrong about that.
But yeah.
I'm not up to date on.
And that they all turned up and voted.
Yeah, all of them, even the babies.
Yeah.
So, love that, though. I just absolutely love people writing in sports stars into their presidential elections.
Hell, I mean, here we're boring. We write in Mickey Mouse generally as the.
Yeah. But let's be real. I mean, we just saw a former World Player of the Year get elected president of Liberia. So, sure. I mean, it's not unprecedented.
Ronaldinho is jumping into politics,
yeah,
right?
Ironically, he's kind of joining in with the, like, far-right group. Not sure if they get that.
In which country is this? Is this in Brazil?
It is in Brazil, yeah. Kind of a nationalistic party. There are also multiple other Brazilians that are actually involved in politics, former players, as you might expect. Romario is actually really heavily involved. I think he might even be a senator now.
Blanco was. That didn't go in
it was
in
like mayor?
Yeah, and then didn't he like get accused of plotting the assassination of his rival or something like
probably.
That?
Probably. That just is an everyday Wednesday conversation for him, I think. Fantastic, though. Get more footballers in politics, please. Especially Ronaldinho. Wanker.
My wanker goes to UEFA.
Ooh, okay.
They've just decided, we're just going to go ahead and drop that investigation on Michy Batshuayi's claims that he was racially harassed by the Atalanta supporters.
They've been on fire recently as well. I don't know if you heard about Russia having over the French national team and the abuse, literally, on every throw-in. Every time those guys had the ball was just nothing but monkey chance. This is literally from the host nation for the World Cup.
Can't wait.
I just want to make sure they're aware that lots of black people will be coming, not only as guests to watch the tournament, but actually playing in the games. Like, there are whole countries of just black people. So, might be something that UEFA would want to, I don't know.
Might want to work on that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Hey.
Even Batshuayi, like, you know, called it out on Twitter and was just like, oh, I guess I just imagined all of that.
Yeah. No good. My wanker, I'm going to give mine to Lazio. I don't know if you heard about this. They still owed Feyenoord $2 million for Stefan de Vrij, a player they brought in.
Uh-huh.
They needed to get that to them.
And how many million?
€2 million. They decided, they received an email saying, hey, we still need that $2 million. And they were like, oh, cool.
Like a Wix invoice, like the things I send out?
Yeah, probably. Turns out that email and the reply that they sent back with all the bank information, phishing scam.
Oh, rats.
Phishing scam.
They literally hit reply all.
They did not hit reply all. €2 million routed to not the opposing team that they still owed those €2 million to.
Nice.
For the player that they purchased. Here's the absolute kicker in this entire equation. De Vrij is actually leaving Lazio in the summer on a free. So they just gave up €2 million for a player that is literally leaving them.
And conceivably have to give up $2 million more. I'm assuming the team that on the other end wasn't like, well, I guess.
I believe the money was ultimately tracked down and found in a Dutch bank, ironically.
Weird.
Just not the right Dutch bank. So yeah, Lazio, falling for the phishing scam. Literally, people, read your emails very closely. This is like the stupidest thing ever to fall for. Just pay attention. It's really easy.
Do they have to send like the currency in like unmarked bills or something?
I hope so. What I really want it to be, like more than anything, is I wanted it to be like a Nigerian prince scam.
Yeah.
Like that's what I really wanted. Unfortunately, not the case. That brings us to the end of this week's show. If you want to get involved in any future shows, you're allowed to do that. You can reach out to Jeremy at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. You can find me at Wrong Side of Pond. We have an email address. You can find it on the website. Just go find it. It's fine. We have a form you can even submit questions through as well. There's lots of ways to get a hold of us. But for now, that's this week's show.
I was hoping you were going to say they actually ended up just sending the money to Jim Baker.
Oh, that would be good too.
All right, folks. Bye.
Bye.